this is probably a familiar story to many of us. Very familiar, yet it continues to offer us truths in our relationship with God that are always timely, and they make us think about ourselves and our relationship with God. Jesus is once again using a common illustration that the people in the land would understand. This is a society that survives on the production of the land and the success of produced food. For us, mostly we depend on the grocery store. Few of us, and yes, we do have some folks here who will go out into the backyard or to their garden and they'll pick the produce and that'll be part of that meal for the evening, but most of us pick up something from aisle 10 or aisle 24 or whatever the aisles are in your grocery store. Most of us don't even think about where our food comes from. Who grows it? What's it grown in? And are there really different types of soil that food will grow in? Now, the answers to those questions are probably a farmer grew your food, probably somewhere in the dirt of the ground, unless they were growing things hydroponically. And yes, there are different types of soil and different conditions to soil that plants are grown in. Jesus speaks of different types of soil in his parable. Although they're really not different types of soil, they're different conditions to the soil. I was reading one of my favorite semi-authors, and I say semi-authors because it's the daughter of Anne McCaffrey, who has now written one of her dragon books in the Land of Pern. And one of the characters, Darlene, don't listen, so you won't get, won't have to be, you can still be surprised. There's one point where the character is lost in the dungeon. He can't figure out how to get out. And then all of a sudden he realizes that the ground under his feet is damp. And so he's thinking, okay, so if I'm in damp soil, I must be really deep in the jungle, in the dungeon. So he moves along and he finally finds some sand. It's not wet. I must be getting closer to getting out because now I'm not where it's all wet and yicky, and so I'm getting dry, but the sand is loose. So that means that no one's walked on this place in a long time. So he realized he needed to keep looking for the right type of pathway because he needed one which was firm and packed down from people walking on it a lot. And he eventually found the packed dirt and he was able to find his way out of the dungeon and he was able to escape. Darlene, you'll have to read how he got there. We read the same books. In this particular story, Jesus is talking about conditions of the soil. And in case you were wondering, I won't hold it as a surprise, we are the soil. You and I are the soil in this story. We are where the seeds will land. Now, in the biblical story, as even in the story that I was reading at home, the packed pathway is the first condition of the soil. The pathway is hard. It's compacted. There's no give to it. If you try to dig a shovel in it, it'd be really, really hard. Because so many people have walked on the path that over time, year over year over year, it has just compressed the soil. It's almost like cement. Seed can't get into that soil. It's too hard. The seed would just sit on top of the ground. Now, the seed can't sprout just sitting on the top of the ground. Plus, the birds of the air would come along and snatch those seeds away. That soil we could think of as being stubborn. It's not open to anything new because it is so compacted. It's only good for a safe place for the birds to land and not have to worry about getting their feet stuck in any muck and getting those seeds. Are you hard and compacted and not open to the seeds that God sows to land and flourish in you. But around that pathway is some rocks, rocky ground. Oh, there's a little bit of dirt in between those rocks. Over time, as someone or maybe a horse has come along and kicked up some dirt, the dirt's flown a little bit and landed around those rocks. If you do any traveling around the mountains, you can look up and think, now, how in the heck did that bush grow out of that rock? And that's because over time, little pieces of dirt have blown up into a little tiny crevice, and it was just enough dirt in there for a little seed to get into there. But it's really hard for that seed to be successful in that little tiny bit of dirt that might grow in a crevice. It takes a lot of time for a bit of dirt to gather. I mean, the dirt's only going to slide down a little few grains at a time. Again, this dirt is not very open to anything new or to be receptive of seeds that come along. There's not much depth to it. It's shallow. The seed might come, and it might sink in over time into those few grains of dirt, but there isn't much substance. The seed sprouts quickly because there's only a little tiny bit of dirt, but there's no place for those roots to go. There's no dirt deep down for the roots to go down into. The rock stops those roots from growing. It even damages the tips of the root where the growth is occurring, and it can't find extra dirt to hold onto or the water it needs to survive. The plant is shallow. And when the sun comes out, that seed has no protection. It gets scorched and it dies. It's like being burnt to death. Are you like rocky ground? And then you have ground that is filled with thorns. Those thorns, they're attached to weeds. They're not part of the seed. They're not the plant that the seed will come from. But the thorns can grow so quickly that they're going to take over. They're going to crowd out everything that seed needs to grow properly. The weeds and the thorns grow so thick and so quick that even if the plant has a chance to start growing, those weeds are there choking out the sun. They can't get any nourishment. It can't get any light. And it dies because there's nothing for it to grow with. If you've ever planted a garden, and I don't know why it always seems to happen to Darlene's garden, but those darn weeds grow faster than the plants you're trying to grow. Mm-hmm. And there are times when those weeds come up and I'm looking at them and thinking, okay, are you the weed or are you the vegetable? Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't think I'm going to weed right now because all I need to do is be pulling up the radishes and she's going to kill me. Because they are imitators. They look like that plant that's really good, but they're just going to choke out the good plants. And then there's the good soil. The good soil is full of nutrients. The soil is loose so that the seed can work its way down into the dirt. There's room in that dirt for that seed to sprout. And there's room for those root tips to start working its way through all the particles of the dirt and find its way down to the water, so that that root tip can suck in the water and help the rest of the plant to start then growing upwards. So it comes above the soil and it begins to get that sun and takes in that sun, which helps it also to grow. The good soil produces crops in unbelievable measures. It's amazing. The more Darlene weeds her gardens, the better the food grows. What does that say about us and our gardens? Jesus finishes this parable. The farmers in the crowd probably got Jesus' message. They knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. But remember, his disciples didn't get the point of the story. But his disciples, most of them are not farmers. They're fishermen. They're tax collectors. They're zealots who have spent their time trying to change life under Roman rule. They come to Jesus in confusion. They don't get it. They don't understand the story. They don't have any idea what it means in their lives as to what type of soil they are. Are you getting it? Are you able to see where you are in the story? Are you the path that is hard-packed? Now, y'all here in church, y'all came here this morning. So my first thought is there's not a single person in this room who is hard-packed soil, because if they were hard-packed soil, they wouldn't be here. They would be so close to hearing the word of God that they would have stayed home, because they wouldn't want to take a chance of coming here and having their soil disturbed. So I would say we're safe, and there's no one here that has path-like compacted soil. But there might be some who are living as rocky soil. Maybe you're willing to hear the word of God. Now, you won't go too deep. God forbid you actually went home and opened your own Bible. And maybe read God's word on your own. Maybe you are willing to hear what someone else says about God, and you might come to church on Sunday, but you're not going to let that impact your life Monday through Saturday. You might think, well, wasn't that a nice service? See you next week. Your life does not get impacted by what you hear. You're not allowing God's word to enter your heart or your head or your life to make it a lasting difference. But then again, you might be thorny soil. You love hearing God's word. You love the stories. You might even think that, this is one of my favorites that she's talking about today. You love the Lord with all your heart. You know you want to do right by God. You want to serve God. You want to help others in God's name. You want to support the work of God in your community. And you're ready to receive those seeds. But don't you just hate those buts? But the cares of everything else in your life take over because you allow it to. You start thinking about what you have to get done at work. You're worried about getting the oil changed on your car and getting it to pass inspection. You worry, will the paycheck go far enough to pay the bill for the car and still pay the other bills that you have sitting at home on your desk? You realize that not once did you go to God in prayer over any of these concerns. You allowed these concerns to overshadow all the promises you learned about on Sunday. You let them overshadow all the promises that God has made to you in all your times of trouble. You forget that God said, "Give me your burdens, and I will give you rest." You decide to live your life in the thorns and weeds, and you allow those weeds and thorns to crowd out the glory of God in your life. Now, I can tell you Thursday morning was one of those days for me. When I finally got up, and no, I'm not an early riser, but you all know this by now, I think someone was trying to blow up my phone with messages. I have a friend who has been dealing with cancer for months and months now, and I found out that she has to have additional treatments because the first two sets of treatments didn't do any good. And then the third set of chemo, which was a completely different type, well, it shrunk some of the tumor, but the cancer's still not gone. And now she's got to do more. A member of the church called me and told me they were in the ER. And I knew I couldn't get there to be there with them because I had to take my car to the repair shop. I don't think I've ever heard a set of brakes squeal and grind as loudly as my car was squealing and grinding. I was actually afraid to drive the car any distance except to the car repair shop. And then Darlene called that she needed information about a check that we had gotten back in July. Like I'm remembering all this. And I couldn't remember it. I remembered money, but I couldn't remember how much it came and where it came from. And all of this was happening at the same time and in the same 5 minutes. And I'd only been up for 45 minutes. I'd barely been dressed. Told Darlene I wanted to go back to bed and just re-wake up. And then my brother Peter called. God bless him. Peter was God in action Thursday morning because the only reason he was calling was to check up on me. He helped put everything else in perspective that morning. I could have let the weeds and the thorns choke out my day. But I knew that's not what God wanted in my life. I could have let those thorns and weeds turn into my being ugly with other people. But Peter helped me to see. So what I did was agree to do a meeting without my friend who has the cancer. And I told her, I'll take care of it. You stay home. You need to rest. You need to build up your strength for the next set of tests. I'll be good. If I need you, I will text you. The church member and I agreed to continue talking by phone and by text to keep me up to date on what was going on. Okay, this is one time where I say my being anally organized is the most beneficial thing in the world. Within 2 minutes of Darlene saying, I need this information, I found it because I had filed it exactly where it needed to be filed. Praise God. The folder was right where it was supposed to be. I took care of that weed before it even started. And my car got fixed. I even got my inspection done and my oil changed. And it didn't take both my arms and legs to do it. Praise God. And instead of being thorny soil, I was good soil that day. I put my trust in God. I claimed God's promises in my life. I accepted the blessing God provided to me through my brother Peter, calling to find out how I was. So I call on you, church, are you good soil? Soil that will take in God's word and use it every day in your life to make your life journey better. Notice I didn't say perfect. I said better. Thursday was still a difficult morning, but it was sweeter with God's intervention. Are you good soil? For when God plants a seed, it will grow and expand and bear God's fruit in the world around you. Are you good fruit that will able to bring your fruit to others so that they can also grow by your good fruit? And fruit that will continue to help enrich your own soil. You know, the very last part of today's reading, I stuck on there the little bit of the passage about the mustard seed. The mustard seed is a teeny tiny seed. Don't drop it on the carpet because you'll never find it again. Because it probably will match some of the colors in the carpet. And you wouldn't be able, it's so tiny you wouldn't see it again. You can actually get it stuck under your fingernail and think, what is this? And you it's just stuck there. But that seed, when planted in good soil, will grow to huge proportions in comparing it to the size that it starts out as a seed. Even the small, mighty seed will only grow when it's in good soil. Are you good soil? Amen. Let us rise as we are able, and joining together in our hymn of response,